Tunes and tumblers. Put that record on right now. Welcome, friends, fans, and people who found our business card on the Starbucks bulletin board to Tunes and Tumblers by Atwood Magazine. Listening to music is more than an auditory experience. Tunes and Tumblers explores the way our senses mingle by pairing new and classic albums with cocktail and mocktail recipes. We invite you to bring out your inner mixologist as we approach the music we love from a unique, immersive, and thoroughly delicious perspective. So put up your feet and enjoy a cold one on us. I'm your host, Anthony, and I'm still adjusting to life without our long-lost mixologist, Pedro. I'm like a labradoodle puppy that's still figuring out how all its limbs work while trying to run a bar. And the results are exactly as you might expect. It's adorable, it's messy, and a little confusing why somebody gave a puppy a bar. Seems a little irresponsible if you ask me, but please enjoy this conundrum responsibly. Of course, drinking alone is a sad, sad business, so I found another newborn puppy from my litter to staff this little fever dream, and he is...
Ryan, your music connoisseur.
And our guests today are three quarters of a platinum-selling rock band from Reno. They've been kicking around in the SoCal DIY punk scene since 2013, where they lit up the underground with their electric live shows and a vibrant brand of lo-fi pop all about feeling lost and lonely in the California sun. Apparently, that's a vibe that transcends time and space, since a little song of theirs called Freaks from their 2013 album Buds got picked up by TikTok's insatiable hype machine and shot them into international superstardom. 600 million streams, back-to-back Coachella sets, and a major label deal with Atlantic Records later, and they've become one of the great pandemic success stories and proof that fun, scrappy garage rock is far from dead. They're here to give us a taste of their new album, Magic Hour, and to taste a little magic from the TNT bar. Tunes and Tumblers fam, please welcome Jacob Brubeck, Nick Radigan, and Henry Dillon of Surf Curse to the pod.
Woo! All right.
I can't believe I finally got through that frickin' intro.
You're great, man. Don't worry about it.
But yeah, let's get to that. It's been a long month of mourning since Pedro left, and I think it's time we all caught up. What has everyone been listening to lately? And we got kind of a full room today, so if you go on too long, I'm going to have Drew play the Oscars walk-off music. So, you know, take your time wisely, y'all.
Well, that'd be a dream of mine. Henry, you go first.
To win an Oscar. Okay, I've been listening to a few different things repeatedly. The new Dijon album, absolutely, I've been listening to a lot because Nick just was in the studio with our new friend Andrew Sarlo, who produced and wrote a couple songs on that record, and he turned me on to it. And yeah, I've listened to it like every other day for the past few weeks, which I haven't been struck by an album like that in a while. I've also been listening to the new Nula Purianya record. That record's super cool, though. Her songwriting is sick. Very unique, jazzy. I love the way that she sort of arranges everything. Jacob?
I've been listening to... God, yesterday I listened to King Crimson's Beat album.
Wow.
It was record. A very funny way to start the day. We were doing another interview, and right before that, I put that on, and it was just like... I haven't listened to it in a while. Henry actually showed me this live video that they did that was like so insane. It's on YouTube and it's just like the craziest performance because half the band is like using like MIDI instruments. So everyone's like playing like actual instruments, but they're digital. Like the drummer's playing like a digital drum kit. The bassist has a thing called a Stickman that has like a bass guitar, strings, and there's two strings. Henry, you know about this, right? The Chapman stick.
It's
like two of the strings I think are MIDI strings.
Yeah.
He can go all over it. And it's like, dude, the most interesting video.
Adrian Ballou in that video too is running like a crazy like modular setup that's all in the back there. And yeah, the sounds like he gets fucking insane. Are we allowed to cuss on here?
Oh, absolutely.
I didn't know.
We allowed to cuss on here?
Yeah. Heck yeah, let's go.
I'm Henry Dill. Am I allowed to say fuck on? pardon my French, ma'am.
Pardon me.
Pardon me, ma'am.
That,
can I say
that shit? Record rules, Jacob. That's the best King Crimson era.
It's really good. And I was taking that in the morning. I spent a lot of my days like at home putting on YouTube and looking on my phone, and nonstop Alex G is playing. Like, it's literally just Trick plays a lot. And another thing that's really been getting me going is the Meat Puppets.
Oh, hell yeah.
I never really, every time I listen to Meat Puppets, I like go to my computer and I start recording music. And I don't know why. And it's like not music that is like, that sounds like the Meat Puppets, but because they're so interesting, I'm so inspired to just do something a little bit different, which is a very good mindset to have.
Yeah, man. That band rules.
They're incredible. It's insane. They're, you know, SST punk label. And then they're like, get over here and be this weird, interesting band that's not punk, but they're unique and fast paced. And then they just have this whole career of just doing their own thing, being interesting. And like, you can't pinpoint like who they are. You got to be inspired by the underdogs, you know? And I feel like they're definitely underdogs.
That was definitely ahead of its time, I feel like, for sure. But yeah, the fact that they continued on, and like some people have kind of done like the country teasers, I feel like have kind of made stuff influenced by them, but is not as listenable, but they're always just so listenable to me. I think about shows that I wish I could have been at, and there's this kind of infamous one that happened in San Pedro called Joy at Sea, and it was when the Minutemen and the Meat Puppets played on a boat.
I saw the Meat Puppets play at the Echoplex like probably 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. And it was a long show. They played like probably 2.5, maybe 2:45, just like really milking it. Yeah, it was crazy. It was cool.
That reminds me of Nick's Duster story, where it's like the opposite, where it's like, it's a band that like thinks everyone wants to see like a really long show. And then, the Duster show, it's like everyone wants wanted them to keep going because everyone was just
the
so
Duster show is like is hammered. Like Duster is so was so cult and they weren't really touring, and like that is like such a band that was, you know, very discovered later on in the internet era, and like a bunch of, and so influential to so many like bedroom pop stuff. So like everyone who went to see Duster, that was like, you're seeing some freaking legends right now. It's like, these are the guys who started all the music that we're into now. And, you know, and like,
just from your story, it didn't seem like they were really aware of like how
Duster's like, performance. They were all looked really surprised. They were so good, and it was money, and it was like magical that night. I haven't been listening to Duster though.
What have you been listening to, Nick?
I have not been listening to that.
Segway. I've been listening to my own record that I just finished. We just finished recording it in the studio, and now like I'm supposed to listen for like mixing notes and production notes, and like, you know, now we're getting into the thick of it.
This is with Nick's other band for reference.
This is with my other band, Current Joy. It's like a Celtic folk psych record, and very excited about it, but been listening to that and 100 Gex.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
It's a big Gex head.
Yeah, don't let our social media manager hear you. I played 100 Gex for her once, and she threatened to throw my phone out the window.
Who's your social media man? Who do you have running your social media? They're like Gex, dude.
That's what I've been trying to explain. I'm like, you don't have to like them.
I was like, I was so against 100 Gex, and then like Nick showed me a lot of
their
new stuff.
And then I came around.
And Nick showed me a lot of their new stuff, and I was like so blown away. And I went back and listened to the older stuff. So like, it just, that band just takes time to like really take in if you don't get it.
Listen, y'all, it's the future of music.
Look,
get on board.
I mean, like, but it's been the future. Like, I mean, yeah, it's interesting at least, you know. Jeez, like, what else sounds that interesting? Who else can like put 10 genres in a song and it's okay? You know, that's fucking sick. Oh yeah.
I feel like
Frank Zappa spent his whole career trying to do that, and 100
he didn't
did like
do
three,
it.
Yeah, and he didn't do it.
And Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra
never accomplished what 100 Gex could.
Absolutely.
You can quote me on that.
It's crazy just like how this band has kind of in such a short time just insinuated itself into the conversation. I remember Thanksgiving last year, it was like we had a Friendsgiving and everyone was over, and then like one person there had like a bunch of free tickets to 100 Gex, and like everyone at the table was like, do you want to just leave and go to the 100 Gex show? And like, we're just like, wait, are all of our guests leaving to go see 100 Gex instead of finishing dinner?
That's crazy.
I might have joined them.
I really appreciate the Frank Zappa diss. I feel like I like him more as like someone for his clips on like Crossfire and like going on TV more so than I do the Frank Zappa catalog. I like the Captain Beefheart collaborations, but then when it's like, yeah, it is hard to get into. I know when people try and sing the praises, I'm like, how often are you putting on a full album? How often are you listening?
It's too Never. Much and it's like too much.
I asked the same question for Black Midi.
Oh, whoa, okay, okay.
Oh, how baby. Often are you putting on that music and listening to it? Are you enjoying yourself? I mean, I know that's not the point, and I respect the shit out of them for that. But people who are like, yeah. I listen to Black Midi all the time. It's like, what, do you listen to Scott Walker all the time too? You fucking sociopath.
Scott Walker, wow.
Gotta hear okay. my
What do you listen to Scott Walker's last album and you're just walking around Silver Lake, like enjoying your iced coffee? No.
Well, as a segue, I've been listening to Scott Walker's record, Walking Around Silver Lake.
Hell yeah.
Well, no. Scott 3 is fine, you know.
What have I been listening to? I've been listening to a former guest of the show, Tessa Violet. She was actually our last in-person guest. That was like over a year ago. I mean, if you're not familiar with her, she was this YouTube star who taught herself how to play music when a friend left her guitar in her car. And now she has like a couple of really good records. She's about to release her new one. She like does all, like she kind of parlayed this little chance happening into just this catalog of catchy oddball pop. The three singles out right now are called Yes Mom, Breakdown, and Kitchen Song. And all three are great. For different reasons, they like kind of incorporate like rich, glitchy production. It heightens the atmosphere of her song. I'm trying to figure out the best way to describe it. It's like always sounds like what she wants you to feel. It's like a little bit unsettling, but at times you just want to get down to it. So different vibes. Yes, Mom, it does a tango on this line between self-love and self-indulgence. Breakdown, it's a bad mental health day, but make it lit. And then Kitchen Song is pretty different. It's this kind of acoustic song where it's just like where you're so in love, you fantasize about all the boring stuff like cooking dinner and walking the dog with your significant other. But yeah, I can play all three of these songs on the loop. I'm really excited for her album. Tessa, let's get together again and listen to your sound bowl in Ryan's living room. That was a lot of fun. Let's do it again. Ryan.
Definitely. Well, I want to pay tribute to one of Scott Walker's collaborators, Alistair Malloy. He's the one who slapped the pig on the drift to make all the cool sounds on that.
Oh, there we go. That meat slapping.
Nice.
Let's go.
Meat slapping, meat puppets. We're bringing it all around. And he played machetes. Alistair Malloy, I think, is his name. Or Majoy. Malloy, Majoy. I could pull it up, but can't get bogged down. We got to keep it moving. What I've been listening to isn't quite as challenging, but I still like it for different reasons. It's a new Hot Chip single that I'm really liking. I'm always going to listen to what they do. I love a Hot Chip show. Four dads jamming, and it always sounds so fun. This one's called Freak Out Release, and it just sounds like a Kraftwerk song. I mean, just a straight up Kraftwerk intro, and I love that. Well, let's get the hell in this bar, huh, Anthony?
Oh, yeah. We could stand outside just on the sidewalk talking about music as long as we want, but I kind of need a drink. It's been a long day already. But first, as a quick reminder, everyone, every song that we mention on the show goes directly onto the accompanying playlist in the episode description. But also, we have a "What Have You Been Listening To" playlist that exists apart from all these episodes. It's all the weird stuff we've been listening to every week. We got submissions from up and coming artists that we really, really like. So, you know, drop into our DMs, show us your stuff, show us your friends' stuff. We love to feature it. Get your stuff out there. But anyway, I think it's time to reopen the bar for the first time since Pedro left. And listeners, this is our second episode back from break, but it is being recorded first in line. And that's because time doesn't really exist here. It's not a thing. We live in our own version of the Upside Down. It has better drinks, and everyone sings the Star Spangled Banner to keep Vecna away. What point was I making, Ryan? Where are we? What are we doing?
I got a little lost in the thread, honestly. But
okay. Who's well, Vecna? Lost in the sauce? I'm wasted.
Yeah. Ooh, <it's laughs> Vecna.
Vecna. Yeah, that's a Stranger's thing. Stranger Things reference.
Oh, well, actually, a D&D.
Sorry to tell you.
Henry doesn't watch that trash, right?
I've never seen an episode.
It's not trash.
It's do not let Messiah hear you.
It's because I'm a grown up.
Oh!
Well, let's get into the bar before these people in line start throwing hands. Jacob, Nick, Henry, did you bring anything to show the bouncer today?
Yes, I have something.
Go
I
for
have,
it.
Yeah, me too. I have a little rat skull.
Oh!
That was...
Oh, wow.
This little guy was running around my room a year ago, and I set up a trap, and... He was electrocuted and died from electrocution.
Oh my God.
And I buried him in the yard and dug him up about 6 months later and excavated the skull. And this is.
Oh my God.
The skull.
You returned him to the earth.
Exactly.
Henry's a fucking psycho.
That's a sick offering, though. Seriously.
Did you.
How could they deny that?
Exactly.
You know?
Did you get the skull yourself? Did you obtain it from the carcass on your own, or did you require extra help?
I obtained it on my own. I buried it like maybe foot in the ground, marked the spot, and just waited for the decomposition to happen. And it happened, in about like 6 months. And I dug it up.
Bones?
Did you eat the meat?
Wow.
No, the worms and the bacteria ate the meat. I just waited.
So that didn't compromise your vegetarianism? Killing them.
No, it was annoying me. This was actually before
You were a vegetarian.
This was before I stopped eating meat too.
I like the idea that the minute something annoys you, it's all off the table. Your respect for life is all off the table.
Dude, this hamburger is annoying me.
Jacob, well, hey. Nick, can you top that at all?
I don't know, Jacob, you go first.
No, well, I have a real mice in my apartment right now, so that's so crazy to me. Well, okay. I was thinking this is a good way to get in is by just showing my keys, because there's so much personality on this sucker.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I got my mama keychain, which is a band nice. That is our homies. It's an 8-ball.
Oh, I saw Girl, Mama. Right. They opened for former guests of the show Mating Ritual last year.
Hell yeah. Nice. They're the best. They're like one of I think they're one of the greatest like modern bands right now. You know, where I like everything that they do. It's so goddamn good.
They're awesome.
And we're gonna play some shows with them again. I got this ska bottle opener that I got at Amoeba. I got into ska again pretty recently.
Nice, Jacob.
Not tonight.
Because
ska.
Of 100 Gex.
Because of 100 Gex. Yeah, exactly. And I'll show off a
dead ass, dude.
And I'll show off just
it's
one
a powerful
more thing.
Band.
My A24 membership, because I'm a motherfucking cinemaphile.
You can be a member of A24.
Jacob, no, for five.
Jacob, you gotta
month.
Be. Jacob, you gotta be careful walking around LA with that Criterion bag and that A24 membership bag.
I don't use the Criterion bag anymore.
Conflicting that's, colors. Yeah.
That's out. For $5 a month, they just send you like a bunch of free stuff. Like on your birthday, they'll give you a free A24 store item. And I got an email to go see Bodies, Bodies, Bodies for free.
What?
But I didn't see it because I have no desire to see that movie. But I'm like, oh, that's kind of like a cool perk is like they'll just send you. They'll be like, hey, go see this movie for free because you're a member.
But should we get you into the bar too, Nick?
Fuck. Yeah, let's see your item, dude.
All right, guys, I brought.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
my gold record.
Ah, there it is.
Hell yeah. Nice.
And as you mentioned, we're platinum now, but I sent the platinum one to my mom.
Aw, that's nice.
I did this. I sent it to my grandma.
That's sweet.
Wow.
That'll get you in for sure.
Oh, there, we got to take a screenshot of this. Nick's standing on a chair, holding it up like Simba. Yeah, and we're still on the sidewalk. Who wants to go in and get a drink?
All right, let's do it.
Let's go.
Yeah.
So thirsty.
Welcome, everyone, to the Toons and Tumblers bar. Please ignore the smell of fresh paint. We've been in the process of remodeling this bar for a new era. Ryan, what have we been trying to add to this place again? What's going in right now?
Well, we are going to add a one of those county fair things with it's the arm wrestling, like the metal arm wrestling hand that people have to try and fight against. We're going to put that in. We're going to put an ant farm with a neon light behind it.
Oh, cool.
And then hopefully parlay that into some races, get some betting going, and make some real money. Understand? So we got big plans for this bar.
big plans. Things Pedro would never let us do. He was very against the ant farm. But we need some theme music while we get this party started. Ryan, do you have an album for us to listen to on the jukebox?
We do. It's a Magic Jukebox because this album's not really out yet. But we are listening to some highlights from Magic Hour, the new album from Surf Curse. Yeah!
Second, we didn't approve of this. We can't play this in this bar full of people.
It's lucky then that no one comes in here.
It's just dead. There's definitely like one guy at the end who's been here way too long, but
yeah, but he's the source of income, so we don't chase him out.
Can we cosplay him later being like a record producer who, like, you know, he's like, hey kid, I heard the song.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, wow.
It's pretty good, huh?
Yeah, or he does the Tom Hanks thing for Elvis, where he's what?
It's literally like Clint Eastwood. It's like Clint Eastwood, but he's an old like Capitol producer. Pretty good kid. Pretty good. And then he walks out. He dies.
On the side.
Hit by a bus immediately. Yeah. Capitol's perfect. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. The script is writing itself.
Oh, man. We're going to have to release it for our non-existent Patreon. Drew, how are we on that Patreon? Is it up yet? Get up. Get to it, man. But while that's happening, we are still in the process of finding a full-time bartender. And while we're sifting through these resumes, our other host, Nasaya, she and I were like, well, why don't we just do this ourselves? So we broke a lot of glasses. We spilled a cocktail shaker all over the floor. But in the end, I think we ended up making something pretty awesome. And we'll see if you can see it through my green screen background. You can kind of see it. Here it is. This is, yes, I've been waiting to drink this all day while we've been chatting. Yes, by this time the ice is melted. Why don't I tell you what we've got mixed up here?
That's a good rim on that thing.
And let me tell you, that's kind of where we started. We wanted to start with the song Sugar because, you know, it's just an absolute bop. So the rim of this thing is going to be brown sugar, it's chili powder, and it is salt. And the reason why we did that is because you wanted tequila or mezcal. And you know what? Great place to start. Let's get something Southwestern. Let's make it a party. So we had mezcal, and this is Magic Hour. This is that kind of liminal space between day and night. It's the transition. What are we doing? We're out on the beach. We're enjoying the last few rays of sunlight. The surf is getting kind of cold. We're going to ride one last wave to the shore. It's kind of like a tiki drink moment, but let's make it Southwestern. So this is mezcal, and then we started with mango nectar and a little bit of lime juice and agave nectar. You always got to put that agave in if you're doing something like a margarita, anything with mezcal. Really, don't do your simple sugar. You got to get the agave. We're going to throw that in with some muddled cilantro. And we did a version where if you don't like cilantro, we know a lot of people think it tastes like soap. You can do it with mint. Both taste really good. The one I got here is the cilantro version. You muddle the cilantro with a little bit of jalapeno, with the lime juice and agave. Get all of those essential oils just like mixed together. Then you add your mezcal and your mango. You're going to shake that up with ice and then double strain it over the grapefruit and ice. And, you know, it's really simple. It turns out looking great. You've got that taste of transition, a new era. You're feeling kind of bittersweet about what's come before, but man, you're really excited about what's to come. And, you know, I can't even take credit for the name of this thing. This was all Nasiah's idea. This is the last wave. And she really wanted to kind of like linger on the fact that like, this is paying tribute to what has happened, the fun time surfing out in the ocean. But, you know, it's time to come back in and try something new. So cheers, everyone, to Magic Hour, to the last wave.
Cheers. Hey, cheers. Very, very impressive.
Looks amazing.
So now I'm in the position of Pedro where I am drinking the cocktail, but no one else is. Mm. And listeners, if you don't drink alcohol, which we know a lot of you don't, the way that you do this as a virgin drink is instead of mezcal, just double up on the grapefruit. Get the unsweetened grapefruit because you want to cut the sweetness a little bit and just make it nice and smooth. We know that mocktails in general are often a little sweet if you don't do them right, but without getting any of that fancy virgin spirit that they got out there, just get some more grapefruit. It tastes delicious.
Is that a real or a virgin one?
You know, it's Saturday, y'all, so I am imbibing.
Live it
Let's
up!
Get wasted.
It's real, baby! I would have done the exact same reaction if you told me it wasn't.
Yeah, baby.
Drink the mocktail, right. Baby. All right, let's go.
We've done a lot of talking, and I kind of want to talk about your music now. You know, Magic Hour is dropping in a few days. It's fun. It's refreshing. It now has its own cocktail. But I was thinking there are some worlds where it doesn't really exist as it is, and maybe not even at all. A lot has happened for you guys in the past, you know, year and a half, 2 years. And if you rewind a little bit to before that, where did you think Surf Curse was going to be here in 2022?
Good question for Nick and Jacob.
That's right. Henry, you're new, aren't you?
I am.
He's a new guy. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of crazy. It was very refreshing to hear members of Surf Curse, Nick, Jacob, and Henry, because it feels so, it's so nice to have Henry in this band compared to just only being me and Nick for like so long. I have to take that in a little bit. It was very sweet.
Oh.
Because we're very happy to have like Henry and Noah in the band. I don't know where we'd be though. Because I mean, just so much crazy stuff happened. Even before the pandemic, we were just kind of winding down. I don't know where we'd be, you know, but we just had so much crazy stuff happen with the band that, you know, we now exist more than ever.
Nick, yeah, didn't expect to be here.
Yeah, did not expect to be here at all.
Where do you think that the band was going? Like, what kind of direction were you moving in before Freaks blew up on the internet?
We were like a boat dead in the ocean.
Yeah, I mean,
there's like nothing going on.
Yeah, there wasn't any
no
like,
plans.
There was no plans.
Yeah,
or anything.
Like no.
And there's no tour plans. We were just kind of like winding down, and then we got
getting emails and our manager being like, "It's blowing up on TikTok," and like we were like, then, "Okay, whatever." Like I didn't use TikTok at the time. I don't know if Jacob did.
Yeah,
did
but I mean,
TikTok?
I wasn't
you,
seeing
you
it on my
them.
Feed though. Everyone was like, "Freaks is like playing like on our like my TikTok feed." I like hear it all the time now. All these himbos are using it as like a sound.
Himbos? Is that
himbos.
The new trend?
Oh yeah, himbos. It's like those really
like
hot
buff,
looking guys
like
who are like
hot,
doing
yeah.
like, you know, either they're singing, they're doing like this, they're singing the song, or they're like. Whoa, step sis, like, what are you doing without a towel? You know, that kind of vibe.
Wow.
You know.
So softcore TikTok pornography really,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Blew up.
Like,
this
yeah.
is, we've never really talked about this before, but it's kind of important to get into.
That's where it's,
but the majority
it really
of the TikToks
with, like,
were softcore pornography.
Well, is that not what you were imagining when you wrote it?
Hey, good question, man. Good question. I mean, we were 19. You got a lot of feelings when you're 19. I sure did.
So, yeah, whenever we wrote that song, it just translated to 10 years later, young himbos just falling in love with it. But then everyone else fell in love with it, too, because it just kept.
I think
popping.
We put a softcore porn in most of the song's energies, you know? Kind of just.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen a better LA Times article opener than about Scooby-Doo's alleged polyamory subtext soundtracked by Freaks. I saw that and I was like, wow, what an opening to an article about a band.
Yeah, yeah, because, that, you know, we talk about like how it blew up on TikTok, but we don't talk about a lot is how weird the videos were. I don't know. I think Jacob finally showed me like a collection of freak TikToks, and I was like, this is what's going on?
Yeah.
Like, this is what's blowing up. This is crazy. And then like just a week, like actually like a month ago now, I got TikTok, and I've been on TikTok now. And I just understand that it's like a really cringy, embarrassing place, you know? It's like a hyper reality, really, is the best way I can describe it.
That's a really good way to...
Nick, you do TikTok insanely perfect. It's crazy.
I do very subversive TikTok where I'm like,
it makes you want to throw
you're
up.
Like, you're like, is he joking about it? Is he really into it? You know, is he doing that fit check? Is it a joke? I don't know.
Nick is like deep diving in his acting skills. It's insane. Cause I don't know I can't tell if you're genuinely like doing it to do it or because you love it.
Oh, you mean the Nicole Kidman one I did?
All of it. Nick, all of your TikToks.
All of them are deeply, it's like I'm researching for a character role, right?
He's Joaquin-ing it. Insane.
I'm still here, yeah.
You're auditioning for funny pictures too. You're just putting that energy out into the universe.
Oh, yeah. If people wanted to follow you and determine for themselves whether or not you're joking, what's your tag?
My full name, Nick Radigan. No one follows me on that trash. It's amazing.
Really?
I guess I get a lot of like the people who do follow. I mean, compare it to my Instagram. I have like 140,000 followers on Instagram, right? But like on TikTok, I have like 2,000. But like it's freeing, you know. I can kind of be more crazy on it, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm almost banned. I got two videos that were flagged. I have this thing on my account that's like, account warning. Don't do anything else like provocative.
and yet your song is soundtracking softcore pornography at the same time.
Yeah,
yeah.
You never know how those terms of services are going to get you.
It's soundtracking the yearning of TikTok tweens, I think.
They love it.
There's a certain yearningness or feeling of yearning that I think is so present in so much of your stuff and comes through so nicely on, like, Sugar, for instance, has so much of that to me. And that first, and like the arrangement of it, it feels like it's just like such a amazing step for the band. And my question about that song was the outro originally a lot longer, and did you have to trim it for that? It feels so hard not to do that jam for like another 2 minutes as like a band.
Well, the outro, no, it was always that short, but that's a funny question. Yeah, it's just supposed to like crescendo to this like chaos. I don't think I could last if it was any longer. Like when we play that song live,
it's hard. Yeah.
Yeah, like you kind of, it's just supposed to be like an explosive, chaotic moment, you know.
It was originally supposed to be like a synth like pop song. That was like,
it was.
I can
it
see
was
that.
Like,
interesting.
When we went into Electric Lady the first time, we were like, I just got such a funny email with the title "Nude Photo of Gene Hackman." It's not. I read that and it literally just like my mind was like, so what was I just talking about?
Electric Lady in the studio.
Electric Lady. Okay. Electric Lady. When we first went into Electric Lady and we were recording Sugar, it was like, we were like, let's make this like sort of the pop song, sort of like the radio pop hit. And then the label heard it and they were like, no, it should be more like the demo. Like it should sound more like you guys. So maybe one day our pop version will reach the surface, you know.
Oh, interesting. Mm. Huh. It's like the opposite major label note story.
I know,
a
right?
A lot of that happened on this record where it was like, hey, we like the original a little bit better, like the ones that you guys did whenever you were just recording like in a room. And it was like, oh, they weirdly get it because it was like,
yeah.
Oh, we have to find that. We're like, we have to impress them and we have to like make something that just feels like everything else. And they're like, no, just do your own thing. Just like, just be yourself. And it's like, what? That's okay. Sure. You know, there wasn't like we wanted to shoot for the stars, and they're like, no, you're already there. You already can do it, you know?
Mm, that's amazing.
Yeah, especially like a major label, you know?
And it sounds a little bit like there was that perceived pressure that you had to try something new getting on a major label. Did you feel like, you know, with this newfound success that there was kind of a pressure on you to change, or how did you feel about that?
No, I think we just like to change, you know, like,
yeah,
I think if we were ever going to make like, you know, more, you know, it's just like every record should be an evolution. 'Cause unless you're not evolving yourself, you know, and, that's a difficult thing because like, when you put out a record that's super different, it's not always like accepted or liked or even acknowledged, you know, people like to hear the familiar with their bands, you know? Mm-hmm. But to me, like, it's all the fun of it is trying something different and that makes you out of your comfort zone. So I don't think it was really, well, it's obviously intentional, but it was never about like, oh, we have all this success, we have to do something this way or that way. It's more like, it's oh, like, now we have the resources to do what we want to do.
Yeah, and I think like the scary thing that we had to go through was like, because Freaks was popping off, which is something that we wrote when we were 19, and then having to like make a whole new album and off of the success off of a song that came out literally like, what, 10 years ago? It's like, doing that and then being like way older and like trying to like, oh, do we like, you know, does everyone expect us to like keep making something that we made when we were like, you know, 19 or 20? It's like, oh, we don't know. It's like, fine, actually. And we can just do whatever we want. And no matter what, we were just going to like do whatever we want too. Just because, yeah, it's really about like evolutioning and like keep pushing ourselves to like make the things that we want instead of like, you know, sacrificing to make something familiar that was so in our past.
I've been thinking a lot recently about how the way we listen to music now is described as just constantly present tense. So because you can access anything at any time, like something that you made, you know, a decade or in the case of Kate Bush, like 40 years ago is suddenly just like a part of the conversation. Do you think that means that you can just kind of do whatever you want and like no one cares about like what the actual sound is going to be like? Do you think that that's helping you in your creative process, or is it affecting it at all?
I think you just have to be a lot more interesting and take a lot more risks because you're competing with the history of music as you know it. Like if these songs can stand up in the same time as you can, you're competing with like the Clash. Like you don't want to just make a Clash song. You want to make something interesting that sort of sounds like it or is inspired by it, but has its own taste, has its own flavor to it or its own message to it, you know? And I feel like it's amazing. It's amazing to live in this time when all those things can be experienced as one, but it just makes you have to work a little harder. You know, you have to be more creative. You can't just like, one thing I feel is that it just like has saturated everything in such a way because you can also experience so many different melodies that it kind of overloads you and you need to hear something interesting or captivating, you know? But yeah, I think it's a challenge, but it's also amazing to live in a time where Kate Bush can be number one. You know, or whatever, you know, it's interesting. It's fascinating. And we live in unprecedented times, you know?
Yeah. And as a listener, there's also this pressure that like there's 60,000 songs put on Spotify every single day. It's like, am I supposed to just constantly take in new stuff? Like
that's literally like a chapter in Infinite Jest. There's like this guy who has a bunch of video cassettes and he gets anxiety about watching the right video cassette. So he essentially becomes like paralyzed by the anxiety.
God, that's such a prescient. Yeah. Jeez.
Crazy.
What a good
scary.
Yeah, it's funny because it like as like a songwriter, it's before. Like you want to make whatever you want, yeah. And then it can stand the test at times, but you know, but as like a listener and as like a fan of music, it's like the it's great that everyone has access to the history of music, like, and everyone talks about it now. I was like talking about this like the other day, where it's like I'm very happy that like there's so much access and so much that it's like being given to you in a way that's like, oh, like now this kid, I like searched for this song, you know, when I was like 21, going on Blogspots, like going on Mediafire, like finding all this like crazy obscure stuff, and here it is, like a sound on TikTok, or someone's, you know, talking about it, and it's like, oh, that's great, you know, because it's like now everyone gets to enjoy this song, but it's also like how long something lasts for in this day and age. It's like someone will release an album, and they work so hard on it, and then it comes out, and then a week later, the listeners listen to something else, or mm-hmm. like, or they're literally like, and I this happened to me recently where like I made an album. 18 songs took me 2 years to do. A month later, I get a message, when's some new music coming out?
Oh, God.
And I'm like, what? That's so much. That was so much time. That album is so long. There's so much to get from it, you know? And that's the scary thing is like, it's like, how long do you last in like this mind of just everyone just taking things in like over and over again? It's all fresh. It's all new. There's no time to just kind of take your time with like a piece of art or something. There are some things that like I can latch on, but
I would also say that like it's interesting because things have become more like niche. I don't think that it's quite sacrificed some people's like patience, you know, like it's interesting how like Cassavetes has become so big, you know, and I feel like those are really challenging films, and like most people have seen like a lot of Cassavetes movies now, or even like, you know, in my personal experience, like a different age becoming more popular over like pandemic time or in this time, you know, it just like, it's like, wow, it seems like everybody's sensibilities are becoming much more heightened and like, they're just gonna like love it and leave it. I feel like there's also evidence of like people who are getting into things that are slower, tapping into like a slower currency.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, it's kind of a strange world that we've ended up living in. And I keep thinking about just, you know, 5-6 years ago where Spotify was around, but it wasn't this monster. I'm trying to look for a better word because, like, I do use Spotify, but it's just this gargantuan thing that just, like, feeds pop culture. And it's like, you want this, master? Like, I have curated this playlist of podcasts and songs to match your morning run where you're going to make 3 right turns and a left. Like it's just crazy how everything just feels so now. Everything is now. Nothing sounds antiquated, at least to me. Hmm. What do you guys think about that?
It's lost its personality of like the search to like delve into something, you know? Like you like something and you're like, "Oh my God, what is this?" you know? And then you start like going to a record store, you look for it online, and you try to like find a way to listen to it. And everything right now is just easily accessed, or it's like given to you like on a silver platter.
Mm-hmm.
I've stopped using my Spotify to listen to like the Discover Weekly, because the last time I listened to it, it was like a lot of it was stuff that I did not like. I'm like, why is it recommending me this band? I hate this band, you know. But then there'd be a song that I'd be really attached to. And I didn't like that. I didn't like that. It was really honing in on me. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna stop using this now. So I only use it to look up songs, but I don't use it to like tell me what to listen to. Because because there was those days where you're just like, you're like, I gotta go to a record store now. I gotta go on my own journey to like really fall in love with a band instead of being told, this is your new favorite band because of everything, you know, everything that you like, we put it in and here you are.
You think you're unique, asshole? Look how predictable you are. We're going to shove this into your face and you're going to like it.
I also think this is another thing with like the saturation of music, or like what the current culture of music, just being on TikTok for like a month, is that it feels like a lot of people are just using music as a projectile vessel to become famous in some way, shape, or form. Like most of the people that are blowing up on TikTok are really, it's like the songs aren't that great. I don't know, like, or like interesting, particularly, but it just seems like that's the main motivation here. And I think that could be like the biggest problem, is that like it's not only saturated, but it's become like a golden ticket to fame, you know? And it almost feels like a bunch of like people showing up to like, you know, like I was just watching this Marilyn Monroe doc or, and there, it's like all these young, you know, people coming to Hollywood to be a famous actress. Cause this is where it happens, that like TikTok feels like that new Hollywood or something in like the '30s. And people just have like, I don't know. I don't want to say I know people's intentions, but it seems like people's intentions are skewed. And it kind of like hurts that music a little bit. So.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. You can hear it, I think, more so than I wish I could.
Which is what, which goes back to, I guess, the conversation of like, you know, why we make music or how we make music and taking risks and stuff is just like, I don't know. I don't know what everybody else's intentions are, but I feel like I just like making music that I would listen to myself or like that I like, you know, that's interesting to me. And that's like my first and foremost. And then everything else is like, I don't know, all the other processes of it.
It lands or it doesn't.
But it sinks or it floats.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
you can't put
all your money on black. You know, it's not going to happen for everybody. And like, we've even achieved some level of success, but that'll go away too. You know, it's like, music is a fashion and it's very corruptible. So watch out.
Absolutely.
But we're coming up to the end of our interview segment, and I want us to end on kind of a positive note. We've been talking a lot about...
I love that note. I thought that was a great note. But no, sorry, Anthony. Go ahead.
You're never going to make it! Stop! Just stop! No, I'm just kidding.
I want to talk just very briefly about the magic of Magic Hour. Jacob, you described your excitement about rock music and being in a band about the magic that goes into it. And I want to know, like, what is it about that excitement that makes it magical? As much as music can be, like, kind of this cynical sphere in some ways nowadays, like, where do we find the magic for you guys?
For me, at least, it's being in the room with these three other guys. You know, like, when everything was, like, falling into place, it was like, okay, we're doing this now. And it was like, we want to have Henry and Noah, like, be a part of this project. And then we got to record in like this very legendary studio, Electric Lady. And it was just so like the magic is like being in that room all together, being with our producer, Chris Cody, his buddy Omar, who jumped on to help him out, and just like working our hardest to like, you know, make something real special and feel great. And we just had all these like moments of like, me and Nick would like go to a bookstore nearby in New York, and we'd grab all these like photo books of like the Rolling Stones and like 100 greatest album covers. And we're like looking through like, this is like, we need to find like what makes, you know, this great, and just taking like in all of this, you know, this knowledge and history, and also like just knowing like in that room, like looking at these people, it's like we were doing something special. So like the magic is just our friendship and, you know, the heart that's being put into these songs. Like for me, that's where the magic is.
Mm. Yeah. And that shit, when it happens, it actually records onto the record.
I agree with that though.
It's documented.
It does. Yeah. You can feel it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like there's a reason why watching Apocalypse Now makes you feel like you want to kill yourself, you know? Like because Francis Ford Coppola had two heart attacks, Dennis Hopper was a freaking crazy person, they're filming in horrible conditions. We were doing everything the opposite of that, falling in love, having fun, creating things with people. It's so satisfying when everybody when you can do a creative process with other people and no one is like, and everyone is inspired by it or moved, you know, like in some way. It's just, it's been an awesome process. And I think that bleeds onto the music itself. And I hope that's how we do the rest of our records for the forever, you know.
Whether it takes you to Celtic punk or Zydeco through a synthesizer. Yeah, right on.
And hopefully we'll get the pop version of Sugar very soon, putting that into the universe.
I want people to hear that.
This is like, this is what it could have been. What do you think about that?
10 years later, we'll really
see. Well, this has been a lot of fun, guys. But before we wrap things up here, I would like to play a round of our favorite game, hashtag mood. Would you like to join me?
Yeah. I wish I had an air horn.
We got something better. We got a theme song. See, that's the hallmark of a good pop song. It's only 20 seconds long, and Nick is already singing the hook.
And Anthony, you have almost finished your drink.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna. we've been talking for a long time, guys.
How long have we been? Oh my goodness.
Over an
hour.
Oh
yeah,
schmowers. We've been talking for schmowers, man.
We're gonna release
right. When you get hey, you're man, at a bar with your friends, you know.
That's the magic right there. But what is hashtag mood, you ask? Hashtag mood is that game we like to play at the end of every show to flex our playlist building skills. What we're going to do is go over to the Tunes and Tumblers hotline where fans of the show, fans of Surf Curse, have left us messages telling us how they've been doing, what's on their mind. We're going to pick one and we are going to each pick a song that goes with it to create an ultimate playlist for that fan. Are you guys ready to listen to one that Drew polled?
Yeah.
And there's a note here. You guys reposted our call for moods, and this was unprecedented. We got the most moods we have ever gotten from fans of a band. Yeah, your fans are into it. Drew actually polled 5, so I'm gonna click on one at random, and our lovely robot voice Gail will read out what these people have said.
Dude, I love robot voices, Ben.
Here we go. Listen closely. Let's see what this one is.
Feeling like the one sock that doesn't have a pair, so it just kind of chills alone. At Moochman _ loss.
Moochman _ loss. Thank you for letting us know how you feel. Like a sock that doesn't have its match in the laundry.
Huh. Okay. So that's the mood. So yeah. We'll all pick a song and create.
Oh, this is easy.
Nick, do you want to go first?
No, I want everyone else to go first.
Oh, all by myself.
Oh, nice, Jacob.
Don't want to be all by myself.
Dude.
Yeah, that's
Harry Nelson without you.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Nice. Oh, God. He's the original. He writes the best. He's best ballads ever, maybe.
Imagine a sock singing that song, dude.
Ryan, you follow that Harry Nilsson TikTok?
The Harry Nilsson TikTok?
His daughter runs it. You'd love it.
Oh, shit. Okay.
It's all this great info. It's great.
Shit. Okay. I'm doing that. I mean, I vowed not to have TikTok, but if it means seeing the Harry Nilsson.
I think there's an Instagram, too. I think. Okay. So, yeah.
So much of TikTok just ends up on Instagram anyway, so. Mm. I got one. I think I'm going to go with Nothing Ever Happens by Pavement.
Oh yeah!
I gotta say, I hope it's a compliment when I say I felt like I heard a little bit of that in Self Portrait. I felt like I heard a little Pavement there.
Oh yeah,
we'll take it. Man.
I think the breakdown definitely.
Breakdown for sure. Very yeah. Pavement. Just very nineties.
Nineties.
Very nineties.
I want to put in Mr. Lonely Chipmunks version. That song.
The definitive version of that song.
Go, Henry.
Originally by, I think, Bobby Vinton or something like that.
Yeah.
Chipmunks version, though.
Mr. Lonely.
That's Bobby Vinton's, man, that's like one of those 50s guys that was probably huge at that time, but now is just kind of like... Like, what did he do? Like, Rubber Ball? Yeah, that guy. Wow.
What if anyway. Bobby Vinton was like a 14-year-old TikTok star?
Yeah. All right, Anthony.
Oh, yeah, it's my turn, isn't it? I'm going to lean into the laundry part of this and choose Hang Me Up to Dry by Cold War Kids.
Damn.
I feel like that's become, yeah.
That song's a ripper.
It is.
So good.
And they just kept it up. They started strong, and just like their career has been one banger after another.
That was one of those K-Rock songs that I heard. It's become like a K-Rock standard at this point. And you hear it so much there. And it was one of those songs that just kept playing. And I always thought, oh, who is that? Is that Queens of the Stone? And I like never knew for years. It sounds so stupid and lazy, but I just didn't know. And And then now, it's so good.
I could see a sock singing that for sure.
Like on Sesame Street?
A sock would definitely be singing that, dude.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably the best one.
You know, we kind of blew through that one. Do you want to do just one more before we call it a day?
Yeah.
Let's do all five. No, just
all
kidding.
Five.
All right, next one. What do we got?
Here we go.
Forever Dumb at Ryan Rojas 400.
Ryan Rojas 400 is feeling forever dumb.
Well, that's a Surf Curse song.
Oh,
is it just that we're going to just do that one four times? There we go.
I like that. Let's do another one.
Yeah. All right. Here's this one.
Avenging My Lizard at jxsteph.tx.
Now that's a good one.
My Lizard.
Okay, yeah.
Wow. That's an interesting
Avenging
one.
Okay. My Lizard.
I'm going to just go off cuff. Aphex Twin, Window Licker.
Wow. I was not expecting that.
I feel like there's a lot you can do with that. And like the real revenge comes in the breakdown, you know what I'm saying? Mm. When it gets heavy, I see like somebody like walking with like an axe or something to like go kick some ass, whoever took their lizard, you know?
Wow.
That's good.
I immediately thought of just a Rage song, which is not the band, but Folk Implosion's Daddy Never Understood off the Kids soundtrack.
Wow.
Daddy Never Understood!
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it goes off.
That's a wild soundtrack, man.
It's insanely good. It's there's Daniel Johnson's on there, Debido, love.
I love all the Folk Implosion songs on there. It got me into Folk Implosion. Yeah,
I'm having a hard time with this one because I hate lizards.
Henry, just fucking think about it.
He's just thinking about the lizard skull in his head, how he's going to take that skull out.
He's 4 months in. Wait, he needs two more.
I'm going to go with Step Into the Arena by Gangstar. I feel like that's always a good... Gangstar just, man, those things, they're like so minimal, but they go so hard. And I feel like that is a good Vengeance song.
You know how I know about Gangstar? Through my Zune membership.
Is that also on your keychain?
I still got my Zune card.
Oh, wow.
But that was like back in the day in high school. That was the first like streaming site that like you could $25 a month, you know, just get unlimited music. But that Gangstar was like one of them.
Wow.
Like one of those recommendations. That's
hilarious.
Yeah.
I can go next. My brain is very associative. So when I heard Lizard, I thought of Geckos. I thought of Gex, and 100 Gex goes hard.
There we go.
Yeah, Money Machine by 100 Gex is what I'm listening to pump me up to avenge my lizard.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. You know, they're actually named after, like, their first EP has a picture of, like, a gecko on it. And I think it's Gex the Gecko.
I did not know. Like Gex, the PlayStation game?
Yeah. I think they're named after the...
Oh.
And there are code the when Dylan Brady does his geck, I think that's from Gex the Gecko. This is all hearsay. This is all theories.
This is all 100 Gex lore.
This is actually 100 Gex fan fiction, really.
Wow. All
right, I'm gonna.
Me and Dylan Brady were hanging out at my house, interior day. Henry.
I have
another one. So
okay, you just add yours.
No, you go ahead, man.
What is it? I'm curious. What's yours?
No, I'm curious about yours, man.
You say yours.
No, you go first.
Wrap this up, man. We've been talking forever.
You say yours, and I'll say mine. Okay, 1, 2, 3. I was gonna say Negative Creep by Nirvana because that riff is just heavy and gets me pumped up to.
I've been on a Nirvana kick lately, also. That's another one. Negative Creep rules.
That's good.
That sounds great.
Love that.
I was going to say Trapped Head Strong.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Because as a 13-year-old, nothing got me more hype.
Yeah. Sure. That was the amping.
Another K-Rock standard. I love that song. Fortunately.
Then he went off and did some stupid things on all the social media.
Yeah, who, the Trapped guy?
Yeah. He said
he was a... I think he got banned from Twitter, right? For just like starting shit or something like that.
Yeah, he's got some... he's kind of like a pro-Trump. I think he's kind of a MAGA, proud MAGA guy. And I think he's...
So just, much sense to me.
He kind of... Yeah, he just kind of fell into the hole a bit, I think.
Aaron Lewis vibes, I guess, right?
Headstrong. Headstrong could have been like played at a Trump rally easily. I could have seen that.
For sure.
I bet you there is a record of that being played when he's walking off the stage.
Well, work, unfortunately, guys. that is my only drink of the day because we got to close up the bar. It's a bar that stays open for 2 hours between noon and two on Saturdays, and we wonder why we don't have any customers. But do you have any lingering thoughts, anything you want to plug before we say goodbye?
I want to clarify something. I made some remarks about Black MIDI earlier. And I just want to say, I have no problem with that band. I like that band, but I can't listen to it for pleasure. I have listened to it, and it's a strange experience. It's very strange. Sometimes it's cathartic. Sometimes it's so avant-garde.
Would it change your mind if at Coachella you knew that they did an extended jam of Can't Stop by the Chili Peppers?
Yeah, I want to see them live. I want to see them live because I've never seen them live. And I hear that's where the magic happens.
We kept seeing him around at Coachella. He's the most like recognizable person there. Jared Leto walked in front of us. We were like, is that Jared? Oh, yeah, that's Jared Leto. Oh, is that Beck? We'll have to look at him a little bit. Yeah. Black MIDI guy, I mean, like that, a Black MIDI guy, for sure. He's like the reincarnation of James Chance. And everything about him is very, and that music is very James Chance. Like he looks exactly like him, like spitting image of him. The fact that they did like a Can't Stop jam is like, I believe it, you know?
Because
they're very like, don't take themselves too seriously, which is fun.
Well, noted. The record has been, let the record show.
Let the record show.
The record has been amended. But yeah, listeners, you got to check out Surf Curse. They're on tour this fall. I'm gonna definitely come out there. When are you guys in LA?
Yeah, it's been announced. We're playing the Palladium.
Okay, awesome. Yeah.
In December, mid-December.
Rad.
Awesome. We will be there. Tunes and Tumblers fan, join us at the Surf Curse show. And will you guys be wearing the costumes from The Wizard of Oz at that one? Or will it be an A24 film this time?
A24
we're all going to dress like bodies.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking about for our Vegas show dressing like four different Elvises.
Dude, we absolutely should do that. It's Halloween
show. And we still should do that. And then we're also playing... are we playing in San Diego for Halloween?
We're playing San Diego on Halloween proper.
So we're definitely going to dress up for that too, which we were talking about dressing like really scary.
Rad.
The theme is really scary.
Revolutionary. Well, thank you guys. This has been a lot of fun.
Anthony, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
And
Ryan, thank you so much. I feel like you could be a buddy of mine. You got some good taste, baby.
That means That's a lot. I around. Feel the same way.
And thank you all for listening to Tunes and Tumblers. Tunes and Tumblers is an Atwood Magazine podcast and a member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Be sure to follow us on every platform. Also, please rate and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast. It helps us out a lot. And if you go to the episode description and scroll to the very bottom, you'll find a link where you can support the pod directly. Every dollar goes to keeping the lights on and getting supplies to make these delicious drinks. Tunes and Tumblers was produced, as always, by Drew Franzblau. Our theme song is by New New Girlfriend. Our hashtag mood jingle comes to us from Jacob Jeffries and Jesse McGinty. And until next time, cheers!
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.